These are the days, my friends. These are the days, my friends. This is the world's last podcast. I hope all is well with you. I've had a strange week. I found out I have a neighbor. It's not a raccoon this time. It's a person. I met him while I was bringing over the last of my things. The last thing, as always, were some tubes of anchovy paste. I have so many. I remember I ordered them. I paid $10 for them. I thought that was for one tube of anchovy paste. It turns out it was for like 8 tubes of anchovy paste. I liked anchovy paste, and I probably used it more than most people. But I think 8 tubes will probably last me from now until redemption. There's kind of a funny story about anchovy paste. This was after one of the calamities. I went back to where I was living at the time. It was night. There was no power. The place was destroyed. Well, there was a structure, but everything was everywhere. I was, like, catatonic. I was in shock. I started feeling around for things. I found my toothbrush. I was excited. I hadn't brushed for days. And then I found a tube. And yes, I ended up brushing my teeth with anchovy paste. That kind of woke me up. I wondered why I had a tube of fish. I thought it was some new kind of alteration we hadn't heard about. Then I remembered that I bought this stuff, and I laughed. I still take it with me wherever I go. I use it in my beans just once a week. That's a treat. I can't do it more than once a week because then it wouldn't be a treat. So I was bringing that back when I saw this guy walking down the street with a sledgehammer. I want to say he was coming at me with a sledgehammer, but I'm not sure he even noticed me. I said, "Hey, are you doing some remodeling?" He didn't laugh. I don't know if he can understand or speak. He did look at me, so I'm pretty sure he can hear. Not sure what he was doing with that hammer. I also don't know why he's in the house directly across from mine. If he's a loner, shouldn't he want to be alone? I'm a loner. That's why I'm all the way out here. I'm not afraid yet. I've had good experiences and bad experiences with surprise neighbors. One of the best was my friend George. I met her in the early days. I had wandered into this Target. Most people were staying away from the stores then, but I thought this Target would be okay as long as I didn't eat any of the food in it. Obviously, there was no reason to think that it would be okay, and it's just luck that I came out of it alive. Anyway, I got pretty comfortable there. I made a bed out of a desk and 3 yoga mats. I put sheets over the mats, but they still smelled like a kiddie pool. I woke up one morning, and I went to the front of the store to use the bathroom. And there was this, I wasn't sure at first. There was this person standing by the doors. She was wearing a blue vest. When I got close, she made a noise like, I can't do it exactly. Eventually, I worked out that she was trying to say, "Welcome to Walmart." I said, "I think you have the wrong store." She didn't laugh. She just moaned unintelligibly. But clearly, she thought she was in a Walmart greeting people. She said it every time I passed. In her way. "Welcome to Walmart." You know, Target and Walmart were probably very similar. I never went to Walmart, though. George and I got along pretty well. I noticed that she seemed to be fine with eating the food that was in the store. The canned and microwavable stuff, not the frozen stuff. That had spoiled. I generally ate whatever stuff she tried, not the canned meat. No matter what, I just can't deal with that stuff. I relied on George. You have to remember, there was no public information then. Anything might have been poison. Good old George. She saved my life. So I hope this guy turns out to be as okay as George. He's very close to me, physically. I like to keep a certain, at least metaphorical, distance from my neighbors, and I always did. That kind of brings me to this week's question. The question comes from Esme or Esme. She writes, I'm a recovering simulationist. I kind of know about that. She says, after the last calamity, life became so painful that I started to think it didn't matter whether it's real or not. That's right. The simulationists, these were people who think that the world is a giant simulation running on a computer in some other reality, which might be the real reality or might be a simulation, which might be in a simulation, and so on. They thought that thinking that made life better somehow. I never got it. Saying that the world is an illusion or the self is an illusion, and there were philosophers who said that, and Buddhists, it's pointless. There's no point to calling something an illusion if it lasts forever. The thing about an illusion is that it tricks you. It vanishes and you feel awful. That's why it sucks. I can remember some hot, thirsty days when I thought I saw water, but it turned out not to be water. That was an illusion. It vanished. But the entire world has never vanished. Myself has vanished a few times, but it always came back. Anyway, Esme or Esme goes on. I've struggled with my faith over the last few years. I can't be the only person who has. How have the calamities affected your faith? They haven't. I never had a religion. I think that's what you're asking. And I also never had faith. People used to argue about this kind of thing. I never had any arguments for or against it. I've heard people say lately that, well, you know, now that most religions aren't true, we've had the end of the world, and it had nothing to do with the Middle East. Maybe. But even before, when I heard any religious explanation of anything, it sounded like crazy nonsense. I just don't believe it. A lot of people said they didn't believe the old religions because of science. I don't know. I'd never heard of evolution the first time I heard Bible stories, and I still didn't believe in them. When I heard about evolution, it certainly seemed plausible. Some things fit the situation better, so they last. Is that it? That's like evolution. I never studied it, and I wasn't interested. I started taking a biology class once, but it involved too much memorization. I just never cared where the world came from or what would happen after I die. Those things were never relevant. I don't know why people were so insistent about them. I mean, whatever you thought about those things, if you were religious or not, your life was basically the same. Driving, working, buying things, maybe reproducing, and that's it. Nevertheless, people would come up to you and ask things like, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal savior? If I wanted to get away from them quickly, I would just say yes. It didn't bother me to lie about it. You have to remember that people lied a lot more in those days. I say a lot more, but I mean all the time. Like, you might say to someone, good morning. And they'd say, actually, I think it's nighttime. That actually gave it away. Whenever people paused, they were searching for a lie. Anyway, then you'd say, no, it's not nighttime. The sun is up. And they'd say, yeah, that's why I said good morning. Conversation was an endless stream of lies, but they were mostly harmless. I had a friend who was always telling me about how he'd been a music producer. I had known him his entire life. We went to school together for most of it. Then he became a dentist. I don't think he ever even went to a concert. I met one of the singers he said he'd produced. I asked her about it. She said, no, he's my dentist. That was fine. It didn't cost me anything. He was a good friend, but sometimes he would pretend that he'd been involved in the music business. He probably wouldn't do that now, if he was alive. Most people would kill to know a dentist these days. Also, now, if someone lies, it could be deadly. Back then, lies were just part of this reality we were all constructing for ourselves and each other. It made life interesting. We let each other get away with it. Maybe that's what religion is. People letting each other get away with constructing an alternate reality. This is the world's last podcast. Well, let's do things I don't miss. This week, references to movies. Like lying, this was a huge part of conversation. You'd say a line from a movie as a shorthand for something else. Actually, most of them turned out to be a longhand for something else. I knew a girl who would always say, "You're so cool, Brewster," every time I did something stupid. She could have said, "You're an idiot," or "stupid." But she went with, you know, that line, because the first time she did it, I recognized it. And we talked about how good Fright Night was. That's the movie that line is from. It was fun. One time we talked about the later career of the actor who said that line. It was not fun. The trouble with that reference was that I was the only person who recognized it. When she'd say it around one of our other friends, she would have to explain, and I would have to testify that it was a real thing. Someone would do something stupid. She would say that line, and the other person would just stare. She'd say, "It's from Fright Night. It's a movie." And then she'd look at me, and I'd have to say, "Yeah, that was a movie." References were always excluding, and you could never be sure if something was a reference or not. Here's something I wasn't sure about. I was kind of too embarrassed to ask. Every time I talked about or ordered or offered someone an espresso, someone would say, "Do you mean espresso?" Or, "Isn't it pronounced espresso?" And I would say, "Yeah. Espresso. I'm getting an espresso." Or, "Do you want an espresso?" I mean, I never knew what that was from, but it seemed like it might have been from a movie. Anyway, I never got it. That would be an old movie, if it existed. I didn't get a chance to see a movie or a play this week. There was no entertainment, because when I went down to the Exchange, they were doing redemptions. I don't mind going to those. We should all try to do it once in a while. Most of the people being redeemed now lost their first families, so we do stand in for them as witnesses to these lives. Besides that, some of the last lines are funny. Well, one guy said, "Esther, I'm coming to join you, honey." And that was funny to me, because what he really should have said was, "Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey," I guess. I think he was doing a line from an old show, and he got the two names confused. I guess it's possible his wife was named Esther. But that would be too close to be a coincidence. Anyway, he was laughing when he said it, and I laughed too, although I was the only one. The point is, don't be afraid to go to the redemptions. I certainly hope a few of you will show up for mine, whenever it is. I'm always thinking about what my last line will be. This is the world's last podcast. A new announcement this week. The authority wants you to stand up and be counted. Oh. This is the census. When I was in the original council, I said we should say, "But who's counting?" When we talked about the census, like when we announced the numbers, we could say, "There are now 200,000 people in the county, but who's counting?" Well, the council didn't listen. Anyway, please report to your local exchange to be counted. Remember, the census will determine future food disbursements. And remember, all food from the authority has been certified safe. So far, the authority estimates the population of the county is nearing 1 million residents. That makes it even weirder that I now have a neighbor. For those who live too far away from the exchanges, the authority plans to send census workers to start a physical count. Please be prepared for the census workers. You will know them because they will bear the official authority badge and also weapons. Keep an eye out for that. Keep an eye out in general. I will be keeping one out until I figure out what this new neighbor is up to. Thanks for listening, and I will see you next week.